This is Your Calls Media Roundtable. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we will discuss a new investigation from The Lever's Luke Goldstein about how the Trump administration has quietly hired a team of scandal-plagued private debt collectors to hound immigrants slapped with new multi-million dollar civil penalties for not leaving the country. All of the companies previously worked on a federal student loan debt collection program that was shut down for widespread abuses. Luke Goldstein reports that one private collection notice obtained by The Lever assessed a $1.8 million fine on its recipient, the maximum penalty allowed under immigration law, plus another $500,000 in fees and interest charges, bringing the total to $2.3 million. According to immigration lawyers, there's been a recent uptick in collection letters from private firms demanding immigrants pay these fines, which the Department of Homeland Security began imposing last year. Luke Goldstein is an investigative journalist and reporter with The Lever, focusing on corporate power, finance, and economic policy. Hi, Luke. Thank you so much for this piece, and thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
This is an unbelievable story. How did you first learn about this practice?
Yeah, well, I mean, you laid it out pretty well right there. But so, you know, I think to take a step back, I mean, your guest before, you know, has spoken to the most public facing, I think, you know, kind of prominent way that people are seeing the Trump administration's immigration crackdown, which are these ICE raids and arrests as part of the deportation agenda. There's been a kind of more behind the scenes effort as well that hasn't gotten quite as much attention. The administration is using a sort of novel tool, which is its civil penalty authority, to levy these really massive fines on immigrants for a variety of sort of alleged infractions. But the top one here is for sort of overstaying a deportation order. And they've ramped this up pretty aggressively over the last, you know, year and a half. These fines have been imposed on 20,000 immigrants at least now that we know of. And that's a huge new pile of debt that's worth about $6 billion.
Wow.
So what I started hearing from sources was that some of the targets of these fines were now receiving, you know, various collection letters, phone calls, and such from private debt collectors that seem to be working on behalf of Homeland Security to, you know, kind of basically harass people for payments of these fines. Now, just to be clear, the goal of this policy is really not actually to collect the payments. It's to impose such a strenuous financial burden that these people are essentially forced to leave the country. That's what they're hoping to do here. And I started looking through procurement records, and I found that, you know, very quietly, the administration has hired this whole team here of private debt collectors. They're awarding them very lucrative contracts to do the management of these fines and payments. And you know, as you said up at the top, one of the collection notices I obtained was for a pretty astounding amount of money. It's a fine for $1.8 million. Which is the maximum that can be imposed under this authority based on statute of limitations. And then if you look at the fees and administrative fees and interest charges from this private collector, the total is $2.3 million, which I think is the highest that, you know, any of the kind of immigration lawyers and advocates on the ground have seen so far. But it's a really massive fine.
You report that as directed by a White House executive order from January, the Trump administration is using these massive new financial penalties to pressure immigrants to self-deport and to ensure immigrants ship out or pay up. The White House is enriching private contractors with a history of dubious practices, just like it has outsourced oversight of its detention centers to embattled for-profit companies like Geo Group and CoreCivic. So before we talk about the companies that are making the money here, I'm just trying to visualize this and figure out why they're doing this. They know that these people cannot pay these fines, that these huge amounts of money. So why are they going to these lengths? Why are they not trying to deport these people?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's something that I was also trying to figure out with my reporting here. I think there's a variety of different different factors. I think to just give some of the backstory here also of how this program, the civil penalty program, developed. This does date back to the first Trump administration, or originally. There's been this authority on the books that Homeland Security can leverage. It hadn't been used by any president until Trump. It's a law that was signed by Bill Clinton in 1996, but hadn't been enforced. During the first Trump administration, the White House was struggling to get Congress to give them the funding that they had asked for to build the wall along the southern border. So what Stephen Miller, who was then a White House advisor, came up with was an alternative approach, which entailed using this kind of hidden civil penalty authority to raise the funds off of the very people that they were trying to push out of the country, and use that money to, you know, instead build the wall or whatever other immigration enforcement initiatives they wanted. I think what's changed this time around is that, along with the more high profile ICE raids, they have found a different group of people who are sort of in immigration records. They've been in touch with, you know, immigration enforcement authorities because they've been issued already a deportation order. We can get into, you know, what actually happens in the stages after those orders are issued, but there's sort of, you know, there's information about them. And so while they devise an ICE strategy for removal, they're also trying to put these giant penalties on them to see if they will get them to self-deport. You know, they also have a program to try to pay immigrants as well for self-deporting as another mechanism. So it's really a kind of full suite of tools here. But, you know, I think, you know, you can imagine if you receive a fine in the mail for $1.8 million, it's, you know, pretty terrifying. And I think, you know, it's kind of forcing people into a precarious position to, you know, basically decide, am I going to have to find a way to pay this off? Or, you know, do I, you know, just take this other option and leave the country? And that's sort of what Stephen Miller and the Trump admin have planned to do here.
Can you tell us how much money is being made by this? Because you report that based on the procurement records reviewed, the private debt contractors are paid for their services, regardless of whether they recover the fine.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so the largest contract here is to a company, Continental Services Group, and it's for $1 million so far. Their procurement authority here is called a bulk purchasing agreement. So they can happen periodically. I mean, they may be, you know, re-upped over several months. But what's officially in the records right now for Continental Services is $1 million, several hundred thousand dollars to a number of, you know, other collectors, one of which is F.H. Can Associates as well. And we've found about five collectors in total that have inked these deals with the Department of Homeland Security. One area of reporting that, you know, I discuss in the piece is whether or not those fines and interest charges that I've listed, I named up front, it's unclear whether that is going directly to line the pockets of these private debt collectors or whether that is going back into the immigration enforcement fund that Homeland Security then can tap for what other enforcement initiatives they want. But you have a baseline, you know, procurement award that is just going straight to these contractors for, you know, all the kind of various services they've offered here, which is, you know, mostly sending letters and phone calls to try to harass people for payments.
I would love to know if the organizations or these debt collectors that have received these contracts have any ties to the Trump administration.
Yeah. So for the most part, most of these contractors, as is true for many areas of government contract or for many other industries that kind of rely on government contracts, you know, they're more kind of, I think, spread, you know, in terms of, you know, partisan alliances, it's a little bit more across the board. However, all of these contractors that we found, their kind of main way that they've, you know, been kind of they've been known sort of in the political context is that they were caught up in a huge scandal from a number of years ago. All these contractors were previously working for the education department as part of a student loan program. These were students who had gone into default on the loans that they'd taken out with the government to pay for college. And the education department was then using a set of private collectors, similar to how Homeland Security is now, to, you know, try to, you know, collect these default payments on these defaulted loans. And the issue was that the collectors had started to sort of deploy a number of, pretty sketchy practices. There were extremely high fees. And the main offense was that they're actually obligated by law to inform students about debt relief options on their loans. And they weren't. And then instead, they were pushing them instead into an alternative, kind of track pathway where the collectors would get to charge really, you know, really high fees. And so there were a number of government investigations into these practices by these collectors. There was a Senate probe. One of the major collectors was dragged through a years-long lawsuit. And eventually, during the Biden administration, this entire program, because of how widespread the abuses were, the administration shut down this program instead entirely. Said we're not going to, you know, rely on privatized contractors anymore. And so I think it's pretty, you know, alarming for many of the sort of sources I spoke to for this, that you have all these discredited contractors from this program, and that Homeland Security would, you know, just kind of directly award them with new contracts. And I think, though, what you have to conclude from that is that is probably part of the intention and goal of the policy here. If you have a bunch of contractors who are using abusive practices, that is perfect for what the immigration enforcement initiatives are here from the Trump administration. They're trying to make life pretty much as painful as possible for the targets of these fines here to try to force them to leave the country.
We're speaking with Luke Goldstein, an investigative journalist with The Lever, who's out with a new investigation about the Trump administration deploying multi-million dollar immigration fines and outsourcing enforcement to private debt collectors with long records of abuse. Luke, have you been able to find any of the people who have received these notices?
So I can talk about this to some extent, a little bit more hypothetically. I mean, I think for understandable reasons, many of the sources that I spoke to didn't want to give too many details about, you know, who the individuals were that they were either representing or providing assistance to for legal purposes. I should mention that the Trump administration also, after they give notice of these fines, there's a period where you can petition the fine. The administration has cut that whole process so that you really don't have much time to decide whether to challenge it or not. You then go into collections. Once you go into the collections phase, the government has started suing these individuals for failure to make payments. And if you get a court order then from a judge, you can start doing things like garnishing wages, and seizing assets. The government directly has ramped up those lawsuits as well, concurrently with outsourcing the management of the fine to private collectors. So, you know, there's a lot of ongoing litigation here. That's sort of my point. I think what you can say to some extent about the people who are being fined here as a general category, right, is that they have been in touch with immigration enforcement authorities. And that fact is what's led to another lawsuit against the Trump administration here by a number of immigration firms that's challenging the way that they've used the civil penalty authority. By statute, they are allowed to fine people who have willfully remained in the country after an order. However, many of the people that they have gone after with these fines have actually, after an order was issued, they've received they've received separately another order that allows them to remain in the country. This gets a little complicated. But also, there are many people who are trying to pursue visa options to stay here. They're, you know, perfectly within their rights and within legal channels. And irrespective of that process playing out, they're still getting hit with multi-million dollar fines by the government. So there is a class action lawsuit by a number of those targets of these fines suing the government for improperly using its authority here. And I think one other area you can kind of discuss here is that some of the targets of these fines are people who've been in the country for a very long time, even if they'd received a deportation order a number of years ago. Many of them actually are, like, you know, paying taxes, may have actually businesses. They have deep roots in the country. And the government is going after them specifically because they have recoverable assets. You know, they may have a business or something that their debt collector contractors would be very keen on recovering, even if they leave the country, or if they decide, you know, I have other visa options here, I'm going to try to actually make these payments that are being, you know, imposed on me by the government. So, you know, if you have a business owner with deep roots, you know, they may be more inclined to actually make these payments. That seems to be one other category here. Of people who are dealing with these fines.
You spoke with Nicolette Glazer, an immigration lawyer in Los Angeles, who said, "We've heard of people who were not even notified of the fine before getting served a lawsuit by the government. There's a lot of bad practices taking place." Does Nicolette know, after immigrants receive these notices, are they leaving the country out of fear?
Yeah, I can't quite speak to this quite as much. I mean, I know that definitely is happening. So again, the Trump administration has started this other program that I think is, you know, related. A lot of this is kind of operating together as, you know, as one mechanism, but they are trying to offer these financial rewards as well. So it's kind of like a carrot and a stick approach. There's penalties for not leaving the country, and they're also offering, you know, very small figures. I believe it's $1,000, maybe $2,000 if you leave the country. I know those people who've actually tried to take the rewards for self-deportation, many of them have not actually been able to get the money from the government. I know that might sound, you know, shocking to a lot of people. The Trump administration's not honoring the agreement that they've put forward here, but you have to use the same app that you use to get in the country to also leave. Many people did this years ago and don't have the information from the app, so they don't qualify. I mean, there's a whole host of complications there. I really think some of this sounds very Kafkaesque, and my understanding really is that I believe that kind of is the design of all these policies operating together. I think they want to make things as painful and complicated as possible to try to, you know, kind of accomplish their objectives, which is to, of course, get as many people out of the country.
Well, and they have a lot of money to do this. The latest I've been able to find, and maybe you have updated numbers, March 2nd, Laura Barrón-López with MS Now reports that the Department of Homeland Security still has $150 billion to spend on Trump's deportation campaign.
Yeah. I mean, that's right. And obviously there's a whole showdown happening, you know, in Washington, D.C. right now still over Homeland Security funding. I mean, the estimate I have for immigration enforcement specifically, what the total tally was $190 billion after the One Big Beautiful Bill increased, you know, immigration enforcement resources back in 2025.
Luke, you and everyone at The Lever, you all do such important work. You are an independent news outlet. You all have been breaking so many important stories. What are you working on right now in our remaining 30 seconds?
We're pivoting a lot to campaign coverage at the moment. I have another California-specific story that we just published. It's about the 22nd congressional district in California. The number of pro-Israel groups are getting involved in that race. They've dropped an ad spend estimated to be worth about $400,000 that's going to hit the airwaves over this weekend that comes shortly after an endorsement came through for the candidate in that race, Jasmeet Bains, from the DCCC. This is the campaign arm for the Democratic leadership. So Prozer groups and Democratic leadership groups are kind of operating, intervening this race concurrently. And that's sort of been an ongoing pattern that we've seen in lots of Democratic primaries this election cycle.
Well, it's so important to follow the money. You can find that piece, Pro-Israel Money and Party Leaders Intervene in California Primary. Where is this? The 22nd Congressional District.
Yeah, it touches Bakersfield.
Okay.
For the most part, and then kind of stretches up north a little bit.
Luke Goldstein is a reporter with The Lever. Thank you so much for your reporting, Luke. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Calls Media Roundtable.